Welcome to the St. Helena Podcast, where we talk anything St. Helena. We cover everything from great island experiences to how we can make a good story go viral, one podcast at a time. Have you got a St. Helena experience, a topic to discuss, or a story to share? Do you want to join the podcast conversation? Reach out to us. Let's talk St. Helena. You can email us podcast@welovesthelena.com or find us online. This is your podcast creator and host, Johnny Klingham.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another podcast episode. In this episode, I'm going to talk to my podcast guest about one of the island's most talked about subjects that is always a talking point for visitors when they describe their St. Helena experience. Whether you've been to the island or you've experienced that authentic St. Helena hospitality. That subject is St. Helena food. Although this podcast was not created in St. Helena, this does not mean that the St. Helena foodie experience is any different in this discussion. I was invited to a St. Helena home in Bristol, United Kingdom, to talk to a couple who's passionate about St. Helena food and culture. Having followed them for a while, I was also fascinated about how they, or St. Cooks as they're more well known, have turned the island food experience into an internet sensation through social media and online advertising. My first question I had for them was, who is St. Cooks?
Well, hiya Johnny, thank you for having us. St. Cooks are Robin and Emma Jane.
Hi.
Hi, thank you ever so much, and I really appreciate your time, as I know you're very busy this time of year, coming up to Christmas and getting all those delicious dishes ready and showing off everything you've done. You've taken Saint food and culture and you've turned it into an internet sensation.
Thank you for that.
What's inspired you to do such a thing about Saint Helena and its culture?
Well, we're both from St. Helena. I'm from Jamestown and Emma Jane's from
Hofdrehalle,
or Twingeville as we call it. And so we moved to the UK a few years ago, and we obviously cook St. Helenian food, and we've always have done. And we used to celebrate St. Helena's Day every year with friends. And every year, they would just devour our food. And then one night, I read an article in the local paper about how St. Helena was losing its community, which annoyed me somewhat. Yeah. And after a long rant, we decided that St. Helena is full of community, and the center of that community is its food. Because we all learn how to make food from a very young age. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know about you personally, what age you learned to make plo, but I bet it weren't very, you know, you weren't a teenager.
Well,
you already knew how to make it.
To be quite honest, I learned how to eat plo before I learned to make it. I was more passionate about eating it.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. But like, the point is that we all learn how to make food really young, and it's a home cooking and everybody's around the kitchen, you know, helping and stuff. So we wanted to show that passion through food. Because, as you know, Saints like to feed people a lot. And so that's kind of the genesis. We wanted to show the community and the culture, because we know it's very food-based. Mm. And that the community of St. Helena comes together around its food, and we'll always feed somebody.
Somebody once told me that plo, or St. Helena plo, was like feeding the 5,000, because you could take such small quantities of ingredients and turn it into a great dish.
Yeah.
You grew up on St. Helena, the both of you, and obviously during that time growing up on St. Helena, you helped to cook. And Emma, I know some of your internet media that you've turned into such a great following. You mentioned how your parents learned you to cook and how you enjoyed it. And I guess that also stems from your passion today.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what work kind of drives what we're doing, like Robin just said, because we want to celebrate the culture and the community of food. But all food is created around memory, and, you know, we all have great memories of going to old St. Helena dances and the way that your granny cooked a certain soup or whatever it is, having plo down at the rocks at the end of a long night out up at the Oasis or whatever, and someone's got a pot of plo in the back of the car. All those, they seem really kind of funny and trivial now, but all those stories and all those memories all add up to a greater collective of what makes community and what brings people together. And that's all a part of, it's all connected with food, so, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm sure you said you learned how to eat plo. You have, somebody you know makes better plo than you, right?
For sure.
Yeah, and then you always enjoy somebody else's coconut fingers.
I certainly enjoyed yours only recently.
So, but like, it's all up to memory. So, and we also were very conscious that Senlinian cooking is a learned thing. It's passed down from generation to generation, and I make it slightly different to how Emma Jane makes it, which I make it better, by the way.
that's debatable.
That is true. You do make some really nice stuff better than me. Nice. But anyway, we all make it slightly different, and that's the flexibility of Senlinian food that we try and tell everybody about. It's like there's no wrong or right way to make it. So all our recipes are kind of a baseline, and then you adapt it. Like, I call plo the best dish in the world because it's so flexible. You can make it so many different ways.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, everywhere we go, there's always a pot of plo in a St. Helena household, whether you live on St. Helena or you live here. There's always a pot of plo at some time on a visit to someone's house. Growing up and cooking, I mean, was it really difficult to find ingredients to make some of the St. Helena dishes that you can remember? I'm sure, you know, as back in the day, ingredients was not easy to find.
I don't know. I just seem to remember the staples was okay. Like, I still don't like tripe. Yeah, exactly. But like, I think the staples, like, you would always have some type of plo. I think some more of the sweetie things were harder to find.
Yeah, definitely a lot of the sweet things are harder to find. But yeah, Senlinians are resourceful. We've always been resourceful. And like you say, the staples are always there. So as long as you've got those core ingredients, you can always make amazing Senlinian food.
And I would also like to say that those core ingredients are ridiculously healthy. Like, you love a fish soup.
Yes.
Like, I'm not a fan of a fish soup, but a fish soup is what, essentially, like, three things?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it's three things in a soup with a mackerel, which is like a cheap fish. or you can go fishing down the rocks for it. So it's like, as long as those staples are there, and that's a ridiculously healthy soup. So in its core, Senlinian food is really easy to make because it's not that many ingredients, but also it's actually really healthy.
Yeah. Correct. Great St. Helena fish dishes. What would you say are the kind of, say, three top St. Helena favorite dishes?
This, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Well, fish cakes, obviously.
Everybody loves fish cakes.
Going to be on the list.
On a personal note, I still haven't tasted a better fish cake than Dot Liu's.
No.
Correct. We all remember Dot Liu's fish cakes from the market.
I don't know what she did to make the
fish
cakes.
She had some secret ingredients, so the spices going in there, and I'd love to know what the mix was, because we all do something slightly different. On our website for like the spices in the fish cake recipe on there, Addy Benjamin did a beautiful video with us when we were on St. Helena. And she uses allspice in her fish cakes. I'd never seen that before until she showed me that, because in my household growing up, my mum always used to use thyme. So it's really interesting how different families do it slightly different, and how those different flavors come through different generations. But it tasted so bloody good. It was so good.
It was really interesting. I saw you having a chat with Atty on one of your videos. And for those of you listening, you can go to saintcooks.com and you can see this video that I am referring to. And Atty made me some great things, and I've got some great memories of Atty bringing me some great meals. Atty's got lots of meal secrets. She'll get you a meal from anywhere, and I thought that was quite unique.
Well, I think it goes back to Emma James saying, like, because you grow up on an island, you have to be resourceful. Yeah. So if you don't have something, you switch it out for something else. And then that's the joy and the beauty of Senlinian food. It's home, easy home cooking, but so flexible.
I think as well, it's probably why what we do now online on our website and on our social media, why it appeals to a lot of people, not just Senlinians, but a huge base of our following isn't Senlinian, or people who've never been there or don't even have a connection with it. They're just genuinely interested in the island because they're just thirsty for information about the place. And when they learn about how easy it is to do and how versatile it is and how, you know, how quick you can whip it up, that they're amazed. And they're like, wow, this is pretty impressive. Yeah. But going back to the fish dishes, I have to say before we move on to the next question.
You like fish soup?
Fish soup is going to be in my top three. That's because my papa used to make it all the time, being a fisherman. So, you know, it was lunch every day.
Yeah, the other thing which I would like to say about fish is that if you live on the island, fresh fish, appreciate fresh fish, because living in the UK,
not so easy to obtain.
So simple fried fresh fish is a joy that you can't have in the UK as well. And it's just one of those simple things that, you know, you have to move away from somewhere to appreciate what you don't have.
Yeah, I get that. Whenever you go to any destination, most visitors would look at or try to understand what cultural food they could eat. In your honest opinion, what are the top three St. Helena dishes one should try when visiting?
Mine's would be plo, coconut fingers, and fish cakes.
Okay, mine's would have to be plo. Ooh, good, this is going to sound...
Not coconut fingers.
Well, you hit plo as well. I mean,
yeah.
Okay, so plo, fish in batter.
Oh, good one.
Fish in batter. You don't see that very, very often, but yeah, that's a good one to have. And, ooh, something maybe like, how about something like poke mince or something like that?
You know, also, I would like the other one. Which,
some stuffed mackerel.
Which I found surprising that most UK people like, that you don't think of. Pumpkin pudding.
Yes, you don't see a lot of that.
No, they're like, we cook some, we have, like I said, we have a Selena celebration, and we cook some Selena day, and devoured, like it just completely, more so than the coconut fingers, the pumpkin pudding and the curry puffs.
Yes, because Saints are also popular for their pastries.
Yep,
also.
Yeah. But the pumpkin pudding, absolutely loved it.
Can you actually buy plo in at a takeaway or at restaurants on the island?
On the island, well, we went back this year, so this is 2019, so we went back earlier this year, and personally, we didn't see it. That's not to say it isn't. I think people do it, but I seem to remember it being a lot more available when we were younger. I can't say why or not, and maybe it was just personally we didn't go to enough places.
Yeah, when I was there, I noticed there was a growth in kind of takeaways and restaurants. Mm-hmm. Is that something you kind of identify? I mean, I don't think you've been back for a while since your last trip, but that has grown a lot.
Personally, like I said, we went back. I did notice that. It made me a little bit sad. I can understand why. But yeah, I just think I would have preferred to see more of the traditional dishes. Somebody who was on island would probably be better to ask the reason why. But yeah, I just think sometimes you can feel like you have to move forward and you miss kind of what you have, and before you know it's gone. So you have to, I think you have to stop sometimes just to appreciate what you have.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about St. Cook's, the brand and the passion. I've followed you guys for a long time.
Thank you.
And I've seen you've grown a lot with regards to social media and how you've branded St. Cook's. I originally saw you on Instagram, and that's what kind of got my attention. Well, to be honest, it was the food you were producing that got my attention. It wasn't the whole Instagram thing. But now I've also noticed your Facebook page has grown. What sort of people do you engage with? And do you get many people interacting every time you post?
Yeah, we have pretty good engagement. So people do interact. There's a lot of questions. I will say that also is actually, we do feel guilty because we know what we should be doing. We're not doing enough because we find it incredibly hard. Just to give you some kind of background about it, it's just me and Emma Jane. There's no one else. It's just kind of us trying to manage that along with some other stuff we do and a young toddler. So time is an issue. But the stuff we try and do one or two bigger things. So like a big video or something, and then just kind of sharing some recipes as we go along. And the reason we do that, we find that a lot of people ask about recipes. So we try and share recipes because people are hungry to how to make stuff. And then also just about information for St. Helena. And we kind of want to share the more interesting stuff. So like stories about the island, a bit more kind of human elements.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
And we I think one of the things we're trying to do with the social media is just to be more human, but more friendly. We don't always succeed, and we're always struggling to stay on top of it. Yes. It is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and it takes a lot to keep abreast of it all.
Yeah, and we try and do kind of funny stuff and just a bit, like I said, a bit more human. If we like. While we're doing this interview, we've been ill, so we haven't posted much because we've been ill, and that's just the realities of life. Like, you get ill, we can't do anything, so we feel a bit guilty about that. But it's kind of just trying to keep growing, really.
And the sort of people that engage with you online, are they more like Saint related people or people who want to visit the island? Give me an example of someone who's come out of the blue and ask you about Saint food.
I'll give you a couple of examples. So I think there's typically like two or three different various people. So there's usually people that have been in the UK for a while and they remember like their auntie or their uncle making certain particular recipe and they want a recipe for it because they've never made it in their lives. So there's that. Then they're asking questions about how to make stuff. The other typical person is someone who's interested in the island and is just hungry for more information about, like, oh, what's this thing? Or so I'll give you an example. Like, we did the cost of traveling to St. Helena video, which, you know, is expensive or not, depending on your viewpoint. But that one, there was a lot of people going, well, thank you. Now I genuinely know step by step of how to do it and how much it's going to cost and all that kind of thing. So those are more people that are just genuinely interested in the island. And then the third person is somebody who's just stumbled across it. And we kind of, those are the people that we try and hook, because then we have to take them on a journey of, like, this is St. Helena. This is the food.
This is how it is.
This is how it is. This is why it's fantastic and special and so forth. So there's a mixture, and we try and cater for all of that. But we do try and reply to as much as we can. Like, we're trying to be as helpful as we can.
Do you have any appetite to share Saint food and culture at events, maybe festivals or other St. Helena events? I know you've been at Reading Sports. You did a fantastic...
Oh, it was great fun at Reading Sports.
Yeah, you did a fantastic thing at Reading Sports with the giant coconut
finger. That's the world's biggest coconut finger ever.
You know what? I actually contacted the lady who won the world's biggest coconut finger, and I was fascinated, and she was fascinated. She'd never been to St. Helena. She's got... I think she's married to a saint as well, and I think the whole media output from that was also great. I saw a lot of people commenting on...
Oh, yeah, we had great fun with that. So I think we've done a few of the events. I also like to mention that Emma Jane isn't talking at the moment because she's just going to deal with our baby, who's just woken up from a nap.
Bad timing.
I know, right? Like, this is the realities of her people.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did also do a local event in Bristol where we catered for an arch trail, which went very well. It was very well received. We kind of go back and forth on this personally because we are home cooks. I've never done a catering course or anything. And I don't think we have any real desire to be stuck in the kitchen 24/7.
Sure, I can get that.
So I don't know if we're going to like open a restaurant or a food truck or something like that. But I think we might look at doing a few more events. And one of the things we do want to do, and we're kind of investigating, is doing supper clubs. So inviting people to our house and then cooking for them and telling them about St. Helena. The other thing which we've tentatively started investigating is potentially doing cooking courses. So teach people how to make St. Helena food. So while we might not open a, you know, restaurant that goes on to be a Michelin star because the food's like just simply amazing, we'll start doing events around food.
I saw you at Reading and I think there was a lot of interest. You also do a lot of merchandise for St. Cook's. Is that welcome a lot? Do a lot of people latch onto that?
No, not really.
Not really. Really, no. It's not something that...
It's available. Like, we set it up primarily because this doesn't... We're not doing this to make money, let's be honest. We're doing this to promote St. Helena because we love the place and we want to promote the culture and the people primarily. We don't make, you know, we're in the red. And we set up the match just to give us some money, just to tick it over so we can, like, you know, buy equipment and all that kind of stuff. And it's there. Thank you to all the people that have bought it. At Reading, for example, it was very successful because we were there with a stall. Online, not so much. Doesn't mean we will stop it. We'll keep doing it. We don't actually make it ourselves. We outsource it. But we're still learning what kind of merch people like and want. And I will say that the recipe cards are very popular, so that maybe we'll move into a cookbook in the future. You never know.
But talking about cookbooks, it's really interesting that you talk about cookbooks, because I saw someone was inquiring online about cookbooks and where can you buy such a thing. And I recall... You probably recall as well, Pamela Lawrence,
love that book.
I know, and you mentioned it in one of your videos about Pamela's cookbooks that was made. But I've never really seen a publication of a cookbook like that. Do you think there's a market for something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, one of the reasons why we haven't done one yet, and I will say, like, Pamela's one is the baddest one we've seen. Like, that's no disrespect to the other one that's available from the Ladies Craft Group. Just that personally, and I want to be very clear on this, like, personally, we've followed some of the recipes between the two cookbooks and we find Pamela's to be easier recipes and more comprehensive recipes. And one of the reasons we haven't published one yet is because we personally want to work through all the recipes ourselves. Because, as you know, if you're following a recipe, like, say, for example, from Jamie Oliver, like, it has to be very clear and step by step at every point. And like I said earlier, sometimes recipes selling and cooking are hand-me-down, and there's a lot of assumed knowledge, And so we have to go through it ourselves to make sure that there isn't any assumed knowledge in it. And it's very clear that step by step. So that's a lot of work in terms of going through recipes. Like, for example, Emma Jane at the moment is making a ginger beer recipe, traditional Selenian ginger beer, which is like divine. But the recipes that we're following has one or two gaps. So we have to kind of go through and make mistakes before we can figure out what the actual recipes are themselves. And I just to bring it back to Pamela's, I hope Pamela will consider republishing hers and updating it because it is a fantastic cookbook. Ours is a little ways off just yet.
It'd be a fantastic gift for someone who went to the island and enjoyed the food, and you know, that'd be something to take away. And it's small enough for someone to carry in their bag. It would make a great gift.
Oh, yeah. Like, I want like a table, coffee table size Jamie Oliver beautiful thing. That's what I want.
I know exactly what you mean. But yeah. Of course, with 20 kilos on the flight,
It'll be fine.
A Jamie Oliver cookbook wouldn't probably quite cut it for.
You could always ship it.
You could ship it.
Yeah. It'd
probably take a long time to get it. But yeah. You could ship it. Let's talk a bit about St. Helena diet and cooking. There's been a lot of focus on diets on St. Helena. We're becoming a bit more aware of diets these days. I mean, traditional Saint cooking, is, do you think, you know, that's good for your diet? I'm not saying it's bad for your diet. Do you think, you know, there could be a change in our cultural cooking?
Yeah, I think Selenians themselves are larger people.
But like Americans.
Case in point, myself.
Yeah. Me included.
Yeah, and we do like to feed ourselves a lot. So yeah, I think some of like kind of the starchier foods, you know, the potatoes and rice and that kind of stuff, we could probably pull back on with. But I think fundamentally, it's not processed. So I think fundamentally, it's probably a bit healthier than a lot of processed food. And going back to the island, like if you're importing a lot of processed food, while it has, if you can stick it in the freezer, it's not going to be as healthy as, you know, your more traditional kind of fish soups, for example. But I will say, like, I do know myself, I have a sweet tooth, and I know a lot of Selenians have a sweet tooth, and we do kind of suffer from diabetes. But that's, I think, symptomatic of a lot of island people, because we just haven't learned genetically how to process sugar,
yeah,
because mm-hmm. we live on an island. But I think fundamentally, Selenian food, if you can go back to the traditional, it's a bit healthier than, per se, like you mentioned, burgers earlier and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think fundamentally, it's healthier.
Yeah. Let's talk a bit about your videos, because they are very engaging, and I think that's something we lack on the internet from St. Helena, some of the video media. We've seen a lot of media come through. Something about your videos is very engaging. How long does it take to put one of those great videos together?
Too long.
Too long.
It takes a while. Like we our videos, we just try and be fun and natural. Again, that human element. We would love to be living on the island. What a great internet connection, because then we could do some really amazing stuff, I think, just going around the island. But we try and make them as fun as we can. Like I personally edit them together. I'm not an editor, so I'm learning as we go along. Transitions is the answer, by the way. And so we're just having some fun with it. We try and think about it from a perspective of you as a viewer. So, you know, what might be fun for you to watch, what questions might you have, that type of thing, really.
Sure, and it certainly gets that engagement. I mean, I never thought I'd sit on YouTube and watch a St. Helena cooking video. But
well, thank you very much.
That's something. I like to watch all the technology videos, but I find myself watching how to make a St. Helena dish, and I'm sure other people do as well.
Well, yeah, we're constantly learning with that. Like I will say we don't know fundamentally what we're doing, so we're learning a lot as we go along.
Yourself short,
hey, you're back. No, we fundamentally don't really know what we're doing, so we're just having a bit of fun with it. Sure. And I and just learning, really.
So let's talk a little bit about history on St. Helena food. Do you think, I mean, a lot of our dishes are made from fish, and do you think that is because we have great access to fish? And I guess, you know, going back in the day when kind of we got to make fish cakes and fish soup and whatever fish meal, I guess that's the reason why we are very fishy.
Yeah, I just think, like, since we moved to the UK, you've noticed the difference in their supposed fresh fish. And I just think the fresh fish on St. Helena is taken for granted. And everybody just kind of goes, oh, it's just fish, it's whatever. But it's there. Like, exactly. Why it's wouldn't easy. You? It's just there. Yeah. The sea's just there.
Yeah.
So use it.
And of course, rice is a popular,
yeah,
popular like, so ingredient.
I'll give you an example. One of our best days back on the island recently, like I said earlier this year, was we went out with our friends in their boat. The Klingons of Deadwood.
You don't want to hang out with the Klingons when you go to St. Helena. Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. And, you know, Jeremy and Lizzie took us out in their boat, and it was beautiful. And they're like, Jeremy just went diving and got some crayfish and then like brought it back and just put it over a fire. And it was beautiful. Like, it was just so fresh. You can't do that here.
Exactly.
You know, or like you go, somebody get on a wharf and somebody be like, oh, you want a bit of fish or whatever. And, you know, it's just there. And I just think, just use it. I think, again, it comes back to that idea of, I think Santalina cooking is so adaptable. And that's something that, as a community, I think is overlooked.
I guess that is the case. I think also I found when I went there, the amount of St. Helenians that don't like fish. It was a half Trihalu girl who said, I can't bear the sight of fish.
That's because it's there.
Yes, I guess.
Yeah, because if you have it like all the day because it's easy, then you're just going to get tired of it. It's like, you know, here, and you just, if you have cow all the time, it's just there. Yeah. You know, like.
There's that thing of like growing up, I can remember having fish for dinner every night of the week, 6 days a week, every week as a kid, and we would only have meat on Sundays. That was the luxury on Sundays. And that was the same for most families. And most families would always have a fisherman in the family and someone who was going to bring in fresh fish. So it was that kind of culture that it was always there. And I can remember as a kid thinking, oh my God, fish again. Like, you know, on Monday we'd have, you know, fish mince, and then we'd have fish plow, and then we'd have fish soup, and then we'd have fried fish. And it's like every single day. My dad loved it.
Yeah.
And then it was only until we came here that I realized that actually, probably was the healthiest I've ever been in my life, all that fish that I was having. And now that I can't have it.
Exactly, yes.
I really, really do miss it. I actually crave fish, whereas before,
oh yeah,
that remember was that, never the case.
Remember
so,
that time we went looking for bullseye in Bristol? Took us ages.
Oh, yeah, probably take you a whole day to find. Well, more than a day.
It took us a while.
Yeah.
Or like that time, also another story, we went looking for Santalina yam.
You've actually done a video on St. Helena yam, is that right?
I love yam.
Yeah.
I love it. And we found that in Bristol, it's Chinese, believe it or not. The really? Strand of yam that grown on St. Helena is the Chinese strand of yam.
Wow. Interesting. How difficult is it to get St. Helena ingredients in? I mean, we're in Bristol today. How difficult is it to get most ingredients? Or is it just fairly easier these days with the way things are?
There's a great shop in Bristol, so we're extremely lucky. Like, I went and we can get Tunchies, for example, because the shop's is a legendary Bristol shop. Mm-hmm. And so it's feeling, I can imagine if you were living somewhere else, it might be a bit more difficult. But I go back to that adaptability thing again. Like, you can make plow out of just pretty much anything. And, you know, coconut fingers is just a keg and coconut. So, but this is the more specialist things like goat meat that might be a little bit more difficult if you're not living in, you know, Bristol has a big Caribbean community, so it's fairly easy. But like specialist thing like conga, like you can't find conga.
No.
I mean, anywhere that there's any kind of African or Caribbean marketplace or shop or anything like that there, then you're going to find at the very least the vegetables and fruit that we're used to seeing on island. Like the yam, mm-hmm. and even the type of sweet potato, because the sweet potato you see in UK market is a completely different, is not the same type of sweet potato you get on island.
Yeah,
so in that respect, but with fish, it's
trickier. Like, can't get pumpkin, specific type of pumpkin, or like some of the things you get from South Africa. We go to a South African shop to get like the curry powder and some of the sauces. Mm-hmm. So there's like little things, but generally, again, I know I keep popping on, but it's so adaptable that most stuff we can get, like, we do get excited. The only thing we haven't been able to find, apart from the pumpkin, is to make black puddings. You can't buy any...
yes, that's very difficult.
Yeah, they won't sell you that.
Just finally, thank you ever so much for coming on the St. Helena podcast.
I know, thank you for having us.
And I really appreciate your efforts for inviting me here to Bristol today. One of the final couple of things, what's next for St. Cooks, and will we see you at Reading Sports next year?
Well, what's next is we have a whole bunch of videos that we still haven't done related to the island. So next year we'll hopefully edit those together. And as I mentioned earlier, hopefully we'll start to do some supper clubs so people can come and actually have us cook for them. And then also potentially looking into doing some kind of cooking classes here in Bristol so that we teach people how to cook. I think generally what we want to do next year is that to try and broaden beyond the course and Leaning community. Because I think like we go to Reading Sports and I think most people know who we are now. And that's not just to say that we won't stop doing that stuff. It's just that we kind of want to bring more people that haven't discovered Selena to discover it, basically. So we're going to look at broadening our kind of core message and what we do, but we will be making a bunch more videos. We still haven't done a cooking video for Coconut Fingers or Plo yet, which I'm very conscious of, so we'll probably do that. And yeah, just kind of keep growing it.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. You've done a great job. You've turned Saint Cooking into an internet sensation. How can we find you online?
Yeah, saintcooks.com. Very simple. I will spell it out. So it's the saint as in S-A-N-T.
Cook. S-A-I-N-T.
That's the one. My spelling's not the strongest.
.com.
So Saint Cooks. And then we're, again, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and so forth at either Saint Cooks or The Saint Cooks. And we tag everything in Saint Cooks. So just search for us, basically, and find us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the St. Helena Podcast. We want to thank you for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to us. You can also contact us, podcast@weloveststhelena.com. Support us by sharing our podcasts with others. Until next time, have a great week.